ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have been discussing the very essence of the entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which have been condensed, as it were, in the 2 mantras in the 4th section of the 1st chapter of Brihadaranyaka, mantras 9 and 10. What is the essence? Aham Brahma Asmi. This is one of the 4 or greatest Mahavakyas. As I mentioned many times, Mahavakyas are not only 4, hundreds and hundreds of Mahavakyas are there. What is a Mahavakya? That which tells that each soul is potentially divine. Meaning, potential, that is the word Swami Vivekananda has used. We have to understand it. Potentiality, if we compare like a seed, then that conveys the meaning okay, but not completely. Why do I say that? Because a seed is an effect. It is an effect of a tree. And the tree is again an effect of the seed. So, but Brahman cannot be defined like that. It is neither a cause nor an effect. Then what is this? All this we have been talking about so long, that the entire creation has come out of Brahman. Brahman is manifesting itself as this entire universe. And in Advaita Vedanta, and we are emphasizing only Advaita Vedanta, from the viewpoint of Advaita Vedanta, seemingly it has come. Like we mistake a rope for a snake and get scared. But when light is brought out, we understand. There would be no snake. Only the rope. This bold teaching of the Advaita Vedanta is the very root of every religion, by whatever name it goes, whether people understand it or do not understand it. So, to indicate that you are none other than Brahman. And again, the essence of it is that it is not that Brahman had suddenly come under the limitations of time, space, and object. But from our viewpoint, we feel everything in this world is different from everything else in this world. Even this one body, the hands are different from the legs, etc. The mind, every millisecond, how many different thoughts and sometimes completely opposite thoughts are running their course. So, which is real? Only that which is lending consciousness, awareness, that pure consciousness that alone witnesses the waking, the dream, as well as the deep sleep state, that alone is the reality, and it never undergoes any change whatsoever. It never underwent, it will not go under any change, but because of our viewpoint, our mind, which comes under the influence of avidya, it is our thinking about Brahman, that Brahman had become the world, and after some time realizes, I am suffering, I must get out of suffering, I must realize that I am of the nature of Sat Chit Ananda, or Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. So, only to a person who had experienced both the joys and sorrows of this world, become wiser after millions of births, and then wakes up from that state. This is not what I really am after. I am not getting what I want from this. So I must get what I want. But I am looking in the wrong place. Therefore, he says, I have searched here. It is not there. So it must be elsewhere. Where did I search? In the external world. Now, entire external world, the search has become exhaustive. And I did not find, then I must search within. Avrutta chakshuhu amrutattam ichchan. And then he approaches a guru, or the grace of God comes to him in the form of a guru, and he gives him the right knowledge in the form of shraddha, intellectual conviction. Unless a person is ready to believe in what the scripture or the teacher says, then he will not be fit to receive. When we become fit, automatically, as if by magic, the teaching flows in us. Of course, through definitely an instrument whom we call Acharya, Guru, etc. And that is called Shravana. And thereafter, we have to either think ourselves with the help of the teacher. The details are to be found in many of the what we call secondary scriptures, smritis, etc. That is how slowly through the, what do I need to do? We have to practice them. I will briefly touch about it. This is only the background I am giving. So there were some people and they were very keen on escaping the bondage of this world. They must have gathered under the umbrella of a teacher in a Gurukula, and Guru must have taught them. Then they were discussing what they were taught. This is called mananam. Mananam doesn't mean purely a person closes his eyes. No, even discussing what Sri Ramakrishna calls satsanga is also a mananam. If we study the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna as an example, it's not that Sri Ramakrishna was speaking. First point, Sri Ramakrishna was not speaking to some people 150 years back. Sri Ramakrishna is speaking right to me at the present time, and all his words are addressed to me alone. How do I understand it? I have to pray to him, because Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat, only by his grace, not only will I get the essential teaching, but even the methodology, how do I understand this teaching properly, that also should come only through the grace of the Divine Mother, Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat. I told you about the five powers of Gayatri. What is the first thing? That right understanding, Samyak Jnanam. Then Samyak Smriti. I must remember what I have understood rightly. Then I have to go on remembering it at the right time. When some danger comes or some unhappy event takes place, I know everything, like a student who mugged up everything, but as soon as he enters into the examination hall, he hangs all his memories outside on the tree and mind becomes blank. And when he exams papers are presented, nothing comes to the mind. But as soon as he comes out of the hall, then all the memories spring down. That is not going to be useful. So, right memory, this is called flashing of right memory at the right time, alone can help us. That is the third power. This is called samaya spurti, at the right time. Then we have to put it to good use, but with a right motivation, not with any selfish motive. This is called niswartha buddhi, prayoga shakti. After samaya spurti, we must be able to apply it all the time. Then the last thing is to remember, it is only
by the grace of the God Mother that we will be able to succeed in our plan. So grace at the beginning, grace in the middle, grace in the end, and that is what Tothapuri Maharaj realized on the last day of his stay at Dakshineswar. I thought all by myself I obtained this samadhi. Then Mother showed him the error of his thinking. So from the beginning itself, we will have to understand. The grace of God awakens us. The grace of God takes our hand and makes us progress. It is the grace of God which presents the obstacles so that, like a gymnasium, where we can strengthen our muscles through the hard overcoming effort, hard effort to overcome the obstacles, we gain physical and mental strength and able to keep our mind focused on God. Then it is through the God, slowly, higher and higher realizations will come. And finally, all realizations will be merged in one final realization that there is no you and me, only one reality, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. So this was the discussion, which is also satsanga, which is also equated to manana. So they were thinking that maybe our teacher, he had attained Brahma Jnana. And what did he become? What did he gain? He became everything. How did he become everything? Only by understanding, I am everything. Now, the word everything is not used by a Brahmagnani. It is used by ignorant people like us. Because there is no question of everything from the viewpoint of a knower of Brahman. From the viewpoint of Brahman, there is no second. Ekameva advitiyam. So therefore, there is no second. Even the very outlook of a Jivan Mukta is Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. That Sarvam, everything, we have to understand clearly, is only our attribution of our understanding of this world from the viewpoint of the Jivan Mukta. So it is not the Jivan Mukta who says, I have become everything. Just Brahman means everything. There is no second. But this, since we are in the world, we cannot cross a limit and then say, understand what is unlimited. If we want to correctly understand the unlimited, we have to become the unlimited. But until that time, we have to guess. And a sincere, honest, humble guess. That is what these people are discussing. Since there is only Brahman, God, God must be everything. Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Riddeshe arjuna tishtati. Isha vasya medagam sarvam. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Excepting Ishvara, there is nothing else. So this was the discussion they were having. So then they understood. What did this realized soul? It can be one's own guru, somebody else. What did he realize? Aham Brahmasmi. And as a result of that realization, Aham Brahmasmi, what did he gain? He became everything. What does that sentence really mean? It means that I have no death. I am pure, eternal existence. I am all knowledge, infinite knowledge, and I am Ananda Swarupa. And that is what has to be expressed, because we have to keep in mind that until we come across a person who is spiritually progressing, then we will not have any right idea about what we are thinking, let alone understanding. Even our thinking also will not be correct. So we have to cultivate satsanga. What is satsanga? Find out a person who is more spiritually advanced than us and then be in his presence. That is called satsanga. How do we know this person has advanced spiritually? Anybody who talks about spiritual life, about God, about Upanishads, however well the person might speak, that is not satsanga. Of course, it is a kind of satsanga, but not real satsanga. What is real satsanga? That which transforms, influences, even to some slight degree, our behavior, brings about our behavior. That is called satsanga. As well, if you approach a blazing fire, you feel the heat. If you enter into an air-conditioned room, you must feel the coolness. If you say, I am in the air-conditioned room, but I don't feel the cool breeze, either you are unconscious, or you are dead, or you don't know what you are talking about. So, what are the characteristics? I have already discussed so many characteristics. In fact, from the last part of the description of Stita Pragna Lakshana, at the end of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's question, Stita Pragnasya Kabhasha, until the end, it is the description of a realized soul. And such a realized soul is only we are talking about Satpurusha. But we may not get completely realized soul. But for us, it is enough to find out somebody who is one step ahead of us. So don't go on reading books and then say, you must get a Sadguru who is a realizer of Brahman. You may not get him. But find out somebody. How do we know what that somebody is? First of all, he is always happy, whatever be the circumstances. Secondly, even if there are great problems, whether it is summer heat, political heat, or oppression by enemies, etc., the person will never lose his coolness. Nobody can affect his happiness, because it is not influenced by outside circumstances, but it is coming from within himself as a result of his realization, which comes in the form of unshakable knowledge. And then he understands that I am such a happy person, and we also feel that happiness so long as we are in that process. Then we also understand this person doesn't expect from me anything. Because remember, when we expect something from somebody, that shows our ignorance, that by getting this thing from this person or object, I will be more happy. That is not the truth. Here you are getting happiness. You don't need to ask. Just like if you are near fire, you don't ask. So I am a beggar. Please give me a little bit of heat. The fire unconsciously doesn't even think. It is its nature to distribute itself to whomsoever approaches it, is ready to receive it, and as much as the person is ready to receive it. So this person, he may not be like joyful like a Brahmagnani, but he will be much, much, much more joyful than us. How is he able to be joyful? Because he understands if anything is happening, it is not because of some action. It is purely the grace of God. He feels the presence of God, and God is Ananda Swarupa. So he says, somebody is criticizing me, that is the grace of God. Somebody is praising me, that is also the grace of God. He doesn't attribute anything to himself. So he will be loving everybody equally, because that critic of this is good and bad, it is much reduced in such advanced person. Then there is nothing a person cannot give you. He will give everything. Why? Because a person can give everything. If a person owns a ocean, it is that person should not have any selfishness. If I give one thimbleful of water to this person, so that much will be less for me. No, he will become like an ocean. Take as much as you want, and I will be full only. Purnamadaha, purnamidam. And lastly, we have to understand that his only anxiety, if at all you find anxiety, how to advance anybody who sincerely approaches me towards God. I know what is good. how can I help the other person also? How can I convey this idea to the other person? So what I am trying to tell you is that if anybody is spiritually progressing, one of the signs will be he will be a joyful person. And when we approach such a person, it is not that we will not be joyful. Willy-nilly, unconsciously, we become joyful with to that person. That is what we need to understand here. This is just, I'm telling you, satsanga is very important. And this is the satsanga. These seekers of Brahman are having this one. Then, how do we know that a person becomes everything? The only proof, Brahman doesn't come and say that I have given realization to this person, he has become everything. We have to be fortunate to come across some people. So the mantra continues that there was a rishi called Vamadeva and he realized Brahman and he understood I am everything. And then he is expressing his realization, Aham Manuhu Abhavam. I am the originator. That means I am Brahma. I am Surya. Only two. But we have to add by guessing, I am Indra, I am Chandra, I am Varuna, I am Vishnu, I am Rudra, I am Divine Mother, I am Jesus Christ, I am Buddha. That's what Sri Ramakrishna was expressing, that he who has come as Rama and Krishna, don't stop with only Ramakrishna. How many millions of times avatars had come in the past creations, God alone knows. Even in this yuga itself, how many great people have come? Anybody who is more unselfish, anybody who is more loving, anybody who is dedicating his life to the service of God, such a person, there is a special manifestation of God in that person. But what we call an avatara, Christ, Buddha, all these were included in that word, Rama and Krishna. We have to understand. So, Vamadeva became imbued with that realization of Brahman. Is telling Surya, I am Manu. In other words, he is saying, I am this, I am you. You are not different from me. But that knowledge, only he has. Manu has the knowledge, I am you. But I don't have the knowledge that I am Vamadeva Rishi. But we have to believe in him. That is also satsanga. Belief in the lives of great spiritual people is also satsanga. So, since I have become everything, I don't need anything because I am Ananda Swarupa. I am Jnana Swarupa. I am Ananta Swarupa. Purnam Adaha Purnamitam. That is what this person has. Then the next idea that such a person who is sincerely advancing, gods gladly aid him. They would not put any obstructions. And then the mantra is explaining, why do they not put? Because he who thinks that I am different, God is different. I have discussed this point in great elaboration in my last class. So such a person, he says, this person is different from me. And therefore, I would like to keep him under my control, like we like to, like a chicken farmer. Why does he raise chickens? He wants to eat, he wants to sell, he wants to make profit. Use it. There is no animal, no bird on earth, which man is not using for his selfish enjoyments. Even birds, colorful feathered birds, in millions and millions, man has honed his skill, how to make these huge factories, farms, where on industrial scale, we can take advantage of them. And how much papa we are accumulating through this. That is why when we suffer, we don't understand what is the real cause. Unless we have done something wrong to one or many, usually many, and for a long time, the suffering also will be absolutely equal to the amount of evil we have done. Our happiness will be also equal to what good deeds we have done. So therefore, the Upanishad warns to say that devas really do not want to put any obstruction. What is the wonderful reason they have? The Upanishad gives is that they also understand you are not different from them. So you have become the Atma, their own self, and they understand it. Therefore, just as we do not wish to do any harm to ourselves, we do not wish to create any unhappiness to ourselves. On the contrary, we only wish to promote happiness, however small, for however smaller a time. So the devas also, they feel, may we help this person. And earlier I gave so many examples how Indra had put obstructions. Why did he put? You will have to go back and read this many times. Why did Indra put obstacle? It is not obstacle. He is helping Vishwamitra. You, person, your intention is good, but your unconscious is rebelling against you. You are hiding so many things, and without getting gnanam of what you are hiding, without passing the third class, you can't get promoted to the fourth class, let alone to the PhD. Otherwise, your permanent head damage will be there if you attempt. And Vishwamitra, as we can see, first he understood his mistake and he overcame it. Then second time he understood his mistake, that my desire had created another obstacle in the form of anger, like Mahishasura. So he overcame that, then he progressed. That is how slowly he became a Brahmarshi, and then Vasishta pronounced him as a Brahmagnani, Brahmarshi, but Vishwamitra was not happy. So he said, if Brahma comes and certifies, then I will accept. So Brahma came and said, yes, truly and really, you have become a Brahmarshi. Thereafter, we see in the Yoga Vasishta, Vishwamitra and Vasishta, they became what you call closest friends. The whole Yoga Vasishta Ramayana is a marvelous episode. If we get opportunity in the future, we'll select some shlokas and go through them. But for now, so anybody who thinks, I am everything, I am the devas, I am the human beings, I am the manushyas, everything, then he had attained sarvam. But if anybody thinks, I am different from everybody else, that is called avidya. So there are two sutras are there. Sutra means brief teachings. Vidya sutram, aham brahmasmi, is called vidya sutram. And I am different. Atha yanyam devatam upaste. That anyaha asau, anyaha aham asmi iti. He is different, I am different. But now what we need to understand here, devata, if I worship Indra, I will get lot of things. Are we not doing it in our day-to-day life? Of course, we are not worshipping that Indra whom the Upanishad mentions here. No, what we are saying, if I worship this Prime Minister, if I worship or flatter this President, if I flatter this Chief Minister, if I flatter this minister, I get a job, even smallest thing. I get the post of a pune, etc., etc., etc. People are ready to pay black money, blackening everybody. And every day a new scandal is breaking out. Such a person is under the spell of avidya or ignorance, because there is nothing else excepting Brahman. If there is only Brahman, there are no many. That is called sarvam. Sarvam is a special linguistic word we use from our ignorant point of view, because we experience this infinite number of this. No. Sarvam means ekameva advitiyam. So, Vamadeva realized. Only Vamadeva, millions and millions of rishis in every religion. Saint Francis of Assisi and so many Muslim saints. Govinda was one of them. Ramakrishna took initiation from him. Mishra was one of them. He had the vision of Jesus Christ. Sri Ramakrishna blessed him and gave him the vision of Jesus Christ. And then anybody who follows the same footprints, follows the same pathway, experiments like a scientist in the same way. And what is that experiment? Moving from individuality to universality, that is called Virat. Moving from lower kosha to higher kosha, finally he overcomes all the five koshas. He overcomes all the identification with all the three bodies, gross, subtle and causal. And then he understands that I am everything. And what is the concept of Jivan Mukta? God keeps out of compassion. Saguna Brahma, Ishvara, out of his compassion, keeps some of the Jivan Muktas for the propagation of Shastra. So actually Shastra means Shruti. Shruti means that which is given little by little to different knowers of Brahman. You propagate this much. The essence is the same. All essences of every realized soul is only Mahavakya, that only God exists, Brahman exists, I, you, anything else doesn't exist. So that is the Aham Brahmasmi. Any person who has this knowledge, he exhibits certain characteristics in the form of understanding. What are those things? First, Brahma eva avidyaya samsarati. Brahman alone thinks, because of ignorance, that I am coming from Brahman, I am in the samsara, I am moving from one birth to another birth, but Brahma eva vidyaya muchyate. The same jivatma. When Brahma is, Brahman is under the spell of avidya, he is called jivatma. And the same jivatma, when he acquires knowledge, vidyaya muchyate. Muchyate means becomes liberated. Liberated means it doesn't attain liberation. It is to say, my thinking was wrong. I thought I was bound. I was never bound. Like a king who after nice dinner has a troubled dream where he was carried, dragged to a dungeon and was being beaten black and blue. And suddenly he wakes up because somebody gives him in that dungeon a terribly big blow. And he wakes up and he starts smiling. Oh, what a foolish dream I was imagining. I was never in the dungeon and I am not awake. I am here only all the time. So that is what it means. So then there is a discussion. Shankaracharya, as usual, gives a marvelous bhashya. It is called Mahavakya Bhashya. And then he says, who keeps really in bondage? So who is in bondage? Is it God? Is it gods? Is it Kala? It is birth. So what is this discussion for? So he says, earlier we discussed that a person who thinks that I am different from gods, not God. I am different from gods. Of course, God also. And so I am small. He is big. I am having very little power. He has every power. He can help me. So I worship him. Anybody, he becomes a Pashu. And I also mentioned in my last class, because it's such an important mantra, we are not only slaves, everything upon whom we depend, upon which we depend, is a devata. If I cannot function properly without tea or coffee, bed tea or coffee, that is my devata. If I cannot live happily without YouTube is my Google devata. So like that you can imagine anything which makes you unhappy, that is the devata. As soon as that devata removes, that is coffee is present, tea is present, YouTube is present and stomachache is removed, that medicine becomes devata. So he becomes like a pashu, like a slave, enslaved. So what is the essence? Dependence is slavery. Slavery means dependence. And a Jivan Mukta is one who overcomes this slavery, then finds out there is nobody other than me. It is only my wrong thinking. And this is beautifully given That is, then why do people suffer from our ignorant point of view? Who is responsible? Is it gods? Is it time? Is it circumstances? No. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita we are told, adhishtanam tatha karta karanancha prathagvidham vividhascha prathagcheshtaha daivamcha eva atra panchamam. So is the body responsible? Is the jivatma responsible? Are the sense organs responsible? Are our efforts in the form of many actions responsible for our life here? No. He says, daivamcha eva atra. Only divine providence. So what is the divine providence? That according to the purva janma karma, the result is allotted to us by vidhata. And that is called divine providence. It is God who bestows people, whether he is a happy person, unhappy person. And it is God who also gives. Here is a grand musician. Here is a grand symphony writer like Beethoven. Here is a grand singer like M.S. Subbalakshmi. Here is a grand tabla player. Grand, great scientist. Great AI intelligence. Just imagine, nowadays AI has become so popular. How these people are using their brain, honing skill, their brain to the highest degree of sharpness, so that we cannot even think. Only after they create it, and then out of that, the technologists create various gadgets, then we understand, my God, if the gadget itself is giving me so much of result, good or bad, how much will be the creator of the gadgets? Creator means knowledge. So, we understand. People get, how do they get? God doesn't sit and at random, like your American HIV visas, lottery ticket. No, he gives us according to our, completely in accordance with our karma phala only. So, our karma phala alone is responsible for our bondage. Therefore, our karma phala alone will be responsible for our liberation. How does the spiritual progress goes forward? First, from Dehabhimana to Atmabhimana, or to tell through the imagery of three bodies, from Dehabhimana to Mano Abhimana, from Mano Abhimana to Pragna Abhimana, from, in other words, from Virat, from Dehatma Buddhi to Virat, from Virat to Hiranyagarbha, from Hiranyagarbha to Ishvara, and go beyond Ishvara, Saguna Brahma also. Or from the other imagery point of view, Panchakoshas, from Jiva Bhava to Brahma Bhava, how through the five koshas, as we were seeing in Taittiriya Upanishad, so from the Annamaya Kosha to Prana, to Mano, to Vijnana, to Anandamaya Kosha, and then go beyond Anandam Brahmeti, Anandam Brahma, Anandam. That's not a kosha, that is Brahmanandam. So the seeker doesn't travel to Brahman, produce Brahman, or become Brahman in you. He merely discovers through the destruction of ignorance or avidya that he has never been anything other than Brahman. He was, he is, and he would be Brahman only. So this is the essence that he gives. And this one, Gaudapada, summarized in our Mandukya Karika. If you remember, in the second section, is in the 32 verse, he summarized this whole thing. What is it? Brahman is never in bondage. Brahman never becomes Jivatma. Brahman never realizes I am bound and I have to get out. Brahman never practices spiritual practice. This is all within the realm of Jiva's thought processes. This is what he says, 232. Na nirodho na cha utpattihi, na baddho na cha sadakaha, na mumukshur vai, na vai muktaha, ityesha paramartha. This is the highest spiritual truth. There is no dissolution, there is no birth, there is no bondage, There is no aspiring to become Brahman. There is no seeker of liberation, and there is none liberated. This is the absolute truth. Now, just I want to elaborate on this subject, and then we will go to the next this one. Actually, Shankaracharya has a very tough bhashyam on this 1-4-10, 10th mantra, Aham Brahmasmi. And therein, he raises many opponents. And there was one opponent called Bhartruprapancha. And he was very powerful. So, all those things we were discussing, that Brahman became Jivatma. Jivatma realized I am in bondage. Jivatma understood I have to get out of this bondage. And then he approached a guru. So, he was not Brahman. But through sadhana, he became Brahman. And then Shankaracharya gives some of the most marvelous psychological insights into it. So, what is the first thing he says? That karma cannot change one's nature. Karma, any action you do, any amount of action, the sweetness of the sugar will never become bitter. You cannot call it, this is sugar, and call and say it is bitter. You may change the names, a bitter something, you can call sweet. But that is not to say it is sweet. Sweet means sweet. That sweetness is its very nature. And no amount of karma can change it. We have got a beautiful wisdom saying in Telugu language by a great poet called Vemana. Therein he says, Iluka tolu techi endaka udikina. Nalupu nalupe gani telupu kadu. So he says, you bring a black colored rat and then you go on through all the processes of first class soap, first class powders, first class scents, do everything and the skin is not going to become white. It will remain that same. It will not move at all. So karma doesn't change. And what does karma do? It removes all the obstacles. Then what about jnanam? Will jnanam give moksham? No. Jnanam also will not give moksham. The essence of jnana, knowledge, is not to give, not to liberate you, not to give you liberation or mukti. What does it do? Just like what does light do when you are mistaking that here is a snake and you are terribly scared, then somebody brings the light. Does the light change the snake into a rope? Never. Knowledge cannot change anything. What does it do? True right knowledge, it destroys by bringing light all the wrong knowledge. On the contrary, what does the wrong knowledge do? It destroys all the right knowledge. But it doesn't change. Avidya doesn't make a rope into a snake. Light does not make a snake into a rope. It is only, their function is only making us understand right knowledge as wrong knowledge as right knowledge. So therefore what he wants to say, neither karma nor jnana, both will not help us in realizing that we are Brahman. But what does jnanam do? It brings us light, and in the light of that light, we understand we were Brahman, we are Brahman, we will be Brahman, and that is my nature, it can never change. So, this is the one of the most marvelous Mahavakyas, and that is Aham Brahmasmi. Just to remind, there were other three chosen out of hundreds, just to represent them. What are they? Prajnanam Brahma, Ayamatma Brahma, Tattvamasi. And then, of course, Aham Brahmasmi. So, I told you earlier, I will just dwell upon that. In a way, actually, any Mahavakya can destroy the ignorance and bring us or make us know who we really are. But in a way of speaking, there is an order. Prajnanam Brahma, consciousness, be conscious, be aware, cultivate continuous awareness. Prajnanam Brahma, and that leads to Brahman. And then, what does the consciousness say? Consciousness is not separate from you. I am Atma Brahma. I am, my consciousness is Brahma. Your consciousness is Brahma. Everybody's consciousness is Brahma. Since I am still deeply embedded, caught in the net of avidya, I am still going on thinking that I am a jivatma. But no, in this jivatma there are two. Jiva, body, mind, and atma, pure consciousness. The separation of these two, where jiva bhava is temporary, atma bhava is permanent, that is called I am atma, Brahma, pure consciousness, which goes through the gross body or waking state, dreamless state, but never gets involved within it. That's Sakshi Kevaloham. That is called I am atma, Brahma. When we progress a little bit and a seeker goes still, then Guru directly points out Tattvamasi, that you think you have consciousness, you think you are not consciousness. But Guru removes and says, you are not having consciousness, you are consciousness. That is called Tattvamasi, that thou art. And then through further spiritual efforts, by the grace of God, with the grace of God, a person, a seeker realizes, Aham Brahmasmi, I was Brahma, I am Brahma, I will be Brahma. These are marvelous ideas. Now from next class onwards, we will take up a little more details. As you understand, I am paying so much attention because this first chapter is called Upadesha Kanda. The entire essence of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, every Upanishad is embedded in this first chapter, and especially in this fourth chapter, especially in the mantras 9 and 10. That's why this is the very essence, sum and sum total of every scripture in the world. Then, the how to attain that one. Sadhana is necessary. That's what comes. So, this scripture, what is called the methodology, called yes, 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 Brahman has become the world. Not really agreeing, but just to make us like a successful psychologist, first he tells, yes, yes, you are right. So you have every right. Those other people, they are the causes of your misery. Then the patient gains rapport. And then once that process of rapport is complete, then the psychologist slowly tells, you can deal with that. And you don't need to suffer. You can overcome it. You can rise above it. Then only the real psychological help starts. Until that time, until rapport is established, what my guru tells is absolute truth, true spiritual progress will not come. Beautiful ideas are there. We will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May the Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.